Body and originally from Brazil is going to come and voice our prayer this morning. And as we go to the Lord in prayer, let's remember once again to be praying for the family of Brenda Waters as they make those adjustments necessary after her passing. Also be praying for our revival. And let's be praying that the Lord will make each of us sensitive to our responsibility during that crusade effort. Each of us, remember, going to find one lost person to bring at least one night to the crusade. That would mean that sometime or another during the three nights there would be more than 700 lost people who would be right here in the building to hear the message of Christ. And we'll see a lot of people come to know the Lord if we can get them in the sound of the gospel. So let's be praying that God will make each of us sensitive to that and finding someone to bring with us on one night. So Al, would you come, Al Callejeros, and lead us as we go to the Lord in prayer now.
Pray with me, please. O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and obey his commandments, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer we bring to you today, Lord. Father, we thank you for the gift that you have given us through Christ Jesus our Lord, that we can come to you to your throne of grace with boldness with our petitions, Lord. Father, there are many needs today. Father, we pray that you would give us ears, Lord, to hear the messages that you bring today, Lord, through your servants. Father, give us heart that we may go out and glorify your name by bearing good fruit unto you. Lord, with the upcoming revival, let us start in our hearts. Father, may we go out there and people look at us and say, truly, these people have been with God. Father, may we bring glorious fruit to you. May this town glorify your name because we've been servants. We've done what we're supposed to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
It's my great joy today to have the privilege of introducing to you one of the gentlest and most humble men of God that it's ever been my privilege to know. Our speaker is Dr. J.C. Mitchell, who has for the past 20 years been serving as the pastor of the First Baptist Church in Winter Park, Florida. And while he was there, that church grew and prospered, and in its outreach, especially in church planting, was a remarkable one. I'm thankful for him, and he has a Master of Divinity degree and a Doctor of Ministries degree from Southwestern Theological Seminary. However, that doesn't mean that he is a stranger to this campus, for I learned something about him this morning I didn't know. On the way over here, he was looking around and pointing out things to me as if he were an old pro, and I discovered that he attended Wake Forest University and graduated from Wake Forest right here on this campus. And so he's not a stranger to this campus at all. And Dr. Mitchell, it's so good to have you back. Now, as is typical of him, just a few months ago, actually, he resigned the pastorate there of First Baptist Church of Winter Park in order to become the executive director of the Pembroke Foundation, which is a foundation that that church really sponsored and developed, and its sole purpose is to be involved in church planting. And so if you want to go somewhere and plant a church and you'd like to have a little bit of help along the way, J.C. Mitchell is a multi-billionaire. And he will be more than happy to see to it if you can satisfy him that you are the kind of church planter he is looking for. Well, then you'd be exactly the kind that he would want to put a little bit of money into and help out there to get a church going somewhere. In all seriousness, it's a wonderful thing that that church has done and that J.C. Mitchell is doing also at this time. He is a man who has experienced a great tragedy this last year at the Southern Baptist Convention. His sweetheart, wife of many years, was killed in a tragic car accident right during the convention, and that's a tragedy that he's had to live with and make an adjustment to. And again, in his typical fashion, he has trusted the Lord and believed in the providence of God through it all. And so I'm so glad to have with us today J.C. Mitchell. He's going to come in just a moment as soon as our ministry of music and worship class with Dr. Good has brought our music. Listen, please, with open heart to both the music and then the message in word from J.C. Mitchell.
It's good to be here today. Some years ago at Winter Park, we had a minister of music by the name of Alan Saloria. Some of you have heard the Saloria family singers. When Alan and Jan came to Winter Park, they had one little boy named John. One day, John came to his daddy and said, "Daddy, I'm lonely. Will you get me a baby brother to play with?" Alan said, "Well, John, why don't you ask Jesus to give you a baby brother?" So every night, little John asked the Lord to send a baby brother to play with. Well, several months went by. Jan was away at the hospital a few days, and then when she returned home and was settled in the bedroom, Alan took little John in, pulled back the cover on one side. Guess what? There was a baby brother. And then he took little John around the other side of the bed and pulled back the cover. And there was another baby brother. Alan said, "John, aren't you glad that you asked Jesus for a baby brother?" He said, "Yes, but aren't you glad I stopped praying when I did?" It's a joy to be here in these familiar surroundings to celebrate with you what faith expressed in worship and proclamation will accomplish. Turn with me in your Bibles to John 5:17, and also, if you will, turn to Philippians chapter 2. John 5:17, Jesus said to them, "My Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working." Hold your finger there and turn now to Philippians chapter 2, beginning with verse 12. "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose." And Paul tells us something about God's good purpose in the verses that follow. "Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life." John 5:17 tells us that God the Father and the Son have always been at work in the world. And in this passage in Philippians, Paul affirms that they are at work in our lives. Now, as we look at John 5:24 and following, Jesus gives us more specifically what God's purpose is in all of his revelation, activity, and work in our lives and churches. Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life." That's the purpose of all that God is doing, that none should perish, but that all should have eternal life. Look at verse 25. "I tell you the truth, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live." And so God's purpose is so that the dead, those who are dead in trespasses and in sin, will hear the voice of the Son of God and live. It's obvious that God is at work in a special way in the state of Florida. You see, we have become the fastest growing state in the nation. Kiplinger predicts that in a few more years there will be 16 million people living in the Sunshine State. Every day, 760 more people are added to our exploding population. Already, there are 8 to 9 million lost people living in Florida. Some time ago in West Broward County, I saw a community of new houses. And I was told that 52,000 people are living there and that there is not one church nor even a Jewish synagogue. In North Miami, another pastor indicated that in that settled community of 100,000 people, that there is not one Baptist church. Over in West Pasco County, north of Clearwater, there are 225,000 people with only six small Baptist churches. Throughout the Southern Baptist Convention, there is a church for every 6,400 people. But in Florida, in most places, there is only one church for every 30 to 40,000 people. God is at work to reach the lost in Florida, and I believe all over this nation. But just as Paul needed a correction in the course of his ministry, Acts 16:7. So I believe that there needs to come a correction in the direction of many of our churches. You see, according to Home Mission Board statistics, 70% of our churches have plateaued or else declining. How is it that in Florida, people who have the Spirit of God in their heart and the Bible in their hand, and yet in the sea of people, they are dying? But also the Home Mission Board tells us that the 92% of the churches that are growing from 80% transfer membership, 12% coming from other denominations. Only 6 to 8% of the people that are being reached by growing churches are conversions, are those coming from the pagan lost world. The Spirit of God needs to re-educate us in the great commandment and the great commission in order for us to fulfill the purpose of what God has been up to through the centuries, and that is that the dead may hear the voice of the Son of God and live. Also, in the words of Jesus, we find God's plan for accomplishing his purpose. Look at verse 26. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, is God's plan. Universalists tell us that if you are sincere and will follow the teachings of any of these great religious leaders, such as Buddha or Muhammad, that you'll go to heaven, you'll be a part of the family of God. But the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the one and the only that has come from the Father. Only Jesus was born of a virgin. Only Jesus lived a perfect life. Only Jesus took our sins upon himself and died on the cross. Only Jesus came by the power of God from the grave. Only Jesus has been exalted and given a name which is above every name. There is no other name given among men under heaven whereby men can be saved. In him and him alone is life. But was W.O. Carver not right when he said that the redeemed are the continuing incarnation of Jesus here on the earth? And so God's plan is His Son, Jesus Christ, and the redeemed. You are members of the body of Christ, Paul declared. Jesus said, I will build my church. And what a thrilling story is the development of the church. On the day of Pentecost, the Spirit of God infused that little band of believers, and that spiritual explosion caused that church to grow to more than 5,000 members. But please observe, and I believe it is a basic principle, it was not God's plan then nor today to reach the world through one large church. And so it was, Acts 8:4, that God used persecution, and those that were scattered abroad whenever were preaching, and wherever they preached, there were those who responded in faith and became a part of the ecclesia. Through many churches, the Lord God gave life to the world of that day. And recall the ministry of Paul, one of evangelism, nurturing, and church planting. This mission professor may disagree, but I have counted on that first missionary journey that at least 8 churches were planted. The second time that Paul and his companions were thrust out by the Spirit of God, there were 9 more churches planted. The third occasion of that mission enterprise resulted in 6 more churches being planted. Beloved, the New Testament strategy for reaching Florida and our world is evangelism and church planting. And if we accept God's word not as mere history, but as the pattern, the strategy that we're to follow, we must give greater attention to this matter of planting churches. We must plant churches if we're serious about winning a lost state and a lost nation. In Florida, there are figures that prove that the 300 new church starts in the last 3 years are reaching more people more economically and more effectively than most of our established churches. I read one survey that indicates that in established churches, per 100 people, there are 4 baptisms on average. But in these new church starts, per 100 people, there are 16 baptisms. From my experience and observation, we must plant churches if we are to move ahead in reaching a lost world. But also these growing ethnic groups. In Florida, we have more than 20 ethnic groups. And in order to reach them, you must go into their culture with their language to plant churches. God's purpose in the world is what? That the dead may hear the voice of the Son of God and live. And God's plan is Jesus, in whom there is life,
and the church of the Lord Christ that will hold out the word of life to those who are dead, that they may hear and live. The third thing that we find in the words of Jesus is the principle by which God works. And I see that in verse 30. As Jesus declares, "By myself I can do nothing." His life was the model. He embodied the truth that he speaks. Here we find humility, dependence, obedience. And look at the love he expresses for the Father as he says, "For I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me." Yes, the principle that brings the work of God through our lives and our churches. The very means is for us, like Jesus, to be obedient and love him so much that we want to please him above every other person. As you well know, when you love someone, you want to please them. And when we love God, as we should, increasingly the desire of our lives will be to please him, to obey him. And folks, if that is true, then we need to take seriously what he says about working in our lives. Certainly the grace of God is at work in all of our lives to bring us increasingly to that place that we will yield ourselves, that we will say with all of our being, "Lord Jesus, I love you and I want to please you." Most of the time, it is a growth process. Sometimes there will be a cataclysmic moment in our lives when God speaks and redirects us. That happened to me in May of 1989. The church staff and I had gone over to Daytona Beach for a planning retreat. Some of our staff, sensing the need of renewal, for the Spirit of God to touch us and lead us, stayed up all night praying. Folks, the next morning when we came together in that conference room with our calendars to plan more activities and programs, God had another agenda. There was the atmospheric presence of God, so real, that soon all seven of us on the staff were literally on our faces, weeping, confessing, repenting, asking for the Spirit of God to fill us. As a pastor of a prestigious pulpit, I had grown comfortable and complacent and cold. But as we bowed in the presence of the living Christ that day, my body literally shook with emotion for 45 minutes as I sensed one wave of God's presence after another. God worked in my life that day. And may I remind you that before God can do a work through you, he must do a work in you. And along with the growth that you're experiencing, perhaps some of you have come to a crisis in your life where God needs to break through and make himself real again. And so it is, God is at work. He works through the Word of God and through the Spirit of God. But also, God works through circumstances and events, doesn't he? And so it was 3 months ago today that as my wife lay dead on that hot
downtown Houston street. As they put me in an ambulance and the medical examiner sat down and said, "Sir, if it's any comfort, your wife died instantly." I said, "Absent from the body, present with the Lord." The medical examiner said, "What?" I said, "Absent from the body, present with the Lord." "Sir, have you come to the place in your life that if you had died, that you know for sure that you'd go to heaven?" He excused himself. But in these months, I've come to understand as never before that all that matters in my life is to help people to experience Jesus Christ. And so God has used the death of dear Molly to refine my focus and to help me realize that there is only one purpose, and that is to complete what God has called me to. Paul said, "And he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." And dear students and faculty, I remind you today that God is sovereign, omnipotent. He is at work in your life and mine to bring us to fulfill that purpose of pleasing Him. With all of my heart, I appeal to you to stay so close to the Lord like the Apostle Paul, so that the Spirit of God can correct any direction in your life and recommission you to new territory. And what a need there is for that being done, because there's so many segments of our population that are untouched. 77% of our population live in 277 metropolitan areas, and yet only 41% of our churches are in the urban areas. And in these metropolitan areas, in Greater Orlando, 36% of our population are apartment dwellers. Down in Broward County, 62% of the people live in multifamily housing. And yet only 3% of the apartment dwellers have been reached for Christ. Oh, what a need there is for the Spirit of God to re-educate us in the great commandment and the great commission, and help us to develop the strategy of reaching our cities, reaching those apartment dwellers, reaching those new communities. I pray that you will recommit yourself to the private ministry of Jesus. Coleman says in his book that the private ministry of Jesus represents intercessory prayer, personal soul winning, nurturing, and discipleship. It seems to me as an older pastor that there is a trend away from the private ministry of Jesus. I find fewer and fewer pastors, soul winners, involved in small group discipleship. More and more we are focusing on the public preaching ministry, and there's a place for that. But in my experience, those satellite
congregations, those new church starts that are succeeding, have leadership that is committed to the private ministry of Jesus. Intercessory prayer, personal soul winning, nurturing people through a small group setting. I challenge you, as you move on through your education and look toward the future, to be open to the leadership of the Holy Spirit to come to Florida and help us to reach that growing state for Jesus Christ. Thank you.
Well, Dr. Mitchell, I've heard of the Macedonian call. I never thought I would hear a Floridian call, but we have heard a Florida call today, and it is one that is certainly germane to your thinking. I hope many of you will feel God's call to that rapidly growing state to go there and be a church planter. And so that's the prospect for the future. And we will pray for you, Dr. Mitchell, as you give direction to the Pembroke Foundation and church planting. Thank you so much for coming to be with us today. Let's see, Brother David, you still up there? Yeah, there you are. He's going to come. And for our benediction again today, I think we're about to get this learned. And we will have acquired a new chorus. So there in the back of your hymnal, you'll find a little chorus. My eyes are dry. Would you stand with us, please? And this will be our benedictory prayer to the Lord, that he make us sensitive to lost people.